Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's for Women. Discover female health insurance through It's for Women.
Good day to you all. It's Oliver on the air till 10. It is Friday on a bank holiday weekend. Surely we're all in good form this morning. The humidity in Dublin, I can tell you, and I presume over a lot of the country, was pure melodeon. I was thinking, is this how Christy Moore feels through an entire show of his? That poor man, what he goes through all year round. As you were, tell us how the tricks are in North, South, East and West, the group chat WhatsApp 087 032 32 32, and of course for your longer letters and notions and thoughts you want to tap out to us, the email is oliver@rte.ie. Yeah, it's last day of school, by the way, in the secondary schools, and I was talking to a teacher only last night who was very excited about it, in a coy way, going, oh, it's just exams and things, but they were not involved in any of the marking or supervision or any of that, so I'm going to have a very nice summer from now, the 30th of May, another month for the primary school teachers, but we don't feel too sorry for you, because the British teachers, they don't get a month off in the summer. And on this show, we've a mighty mix for you today. We're going to be speaking to Rex Ryan this morning. He's the young actor. He was in with us before. Rex runs the Glass Mask Theatre in Dawson Street in Dublin. And he also happens to be the son of the late Jerry Ryan. And that family has produced a very talented brood we know well by now. What is he doing these days? Well, he's written a play for his theatre called The Monk. And it's about the convicted criminal Gerard Hutch. Why is he doing this? Well, Rex knew the Hutch family growing up. The Ryans lived in the same neighbourhood as the Hutches in Clontarf, and this gave Rex Ryan obviously access to the man who was described by the Special Criminal Court as the figurehead of the Hutch organised crime group. And of course, as we know, The Monk became one of the biggest stories of the general election in November. Narrowly missed out on the fourth seat in Dublin Central. He was just pushed out on the 11th count by Labour's Marie Sherlock, who's been a busy TD ever since, and quite a high profile one too. A really dramatic race, and that captured the attention of the global media, who rushed to the RDS to cover the end of that very exciting election count. So Gerard Hutch won over 3,000 first preference votes. It's fair to say it rattled the political establishment at the time, and there's always a lot of discussion around him. So we're going to explore all of this with Rex Ryan this morning. What is he getting himself in for, doing a play on that subject? And just to give you the mix, comedian Taryn O'Sullivan is our visiting critic this morning. She's young. She lives in an apartment in Dublin. She works 7 days a week presenting, doing comedy stuff. So what thing would she never consider doing in her life that she could review for us in an independent, fresh-eyed way, as per the idea behind the visiting critic? Tidy towns. Yes, it invokes a certain spirit in you, even when you say tidy towns, that military wing of the Bloom Festival. And that's what she's plunged herself into. It's an organisation keeping Ireland looking decent since God was a gassin. Highly competitive, very busy people, volunteers who work extremely hard. So Taryn went off for a day's hard work with the Maynooth Tidy Towns Association in County Kildare. They're doing massive amount of planting over there at the minute as part of a European competition for Tidy Towns, which we'll find all about that later, and how Taryn got on. 51551 is the text. Taryn also played Taylor Swift in Callan Kicks the Years. Yeah, because she's hot. Are we allowed to say that? Quick check with the producer Caroline. Nonplussed look I'm getting here. She'd be okay. You know what I mean. We have to cast Taylor Swift as a lookalike. Sure, I don't know what I'm talking about. The kind of slightly Friday head, semi-reckless feeling this morning. 51551 is the text. Oh, I already did that. DIY story today. Are you good at DIY? Is there something breaks in the house or something he's doing? Are you good at doing it? Or are you one of those people who thinks you're good at it and it all goes horribly wrong and you have to pay someone an incredible amount of money to fix what's gone wrong? Nearly half of the Irish population rate their DIY abilities at 2 stars or less. So we're well below par. Half of all the Irish people in this country, 1 in 10, admit to having zero skills at all when it comes to home maintenance, according to a new survey by an insurance broker crowd. This is learned helplessness now, isn't it? Oh, no, I wouldn't know how to wire that plug. No, I don't know what to do at all. I'd say things are thrown out because they don't change the fuse on the plugs or know how. And, of course, the kind of factory ones have no give on the wires at all these days. But anyway, this poll is painting a picture of an Ireland where our confidence with tools is very much split along gender and generational lines, essentially. What's really striking here is the gender gap in self-assessed ability. Nearly 60% of women rated themselves 2 stars or less compared to 41% of men. Oh, you see, this is just honesty versus, you know, men going, oh no, I can do that for sure. 60% say, no, I'm not great at it. 40% of men go, I'm not great at it. So 60% of men go, absolutely, know how to do that. Don't know why I turned into Martin King there. Looking into my head. He's sort of a man who sounds confident of everything he's doing. There you go. Meteorological flows and fix a plug. This is Gallagher's. Gallagher's is the insurance broker. They asked individuals rank how adept they are at basic home maintenance improvement tasks. The tasks are hanging shelves. Tough enough now. Assembling furniture. Come on, everyone can do that. Fixing minor leaks. If it's outdoors, no bother. Painting and general upkeep. Many of the jobs seem manageable. The risk of causing accidental damage increased significantly without the right skills or equipment. You see, that's where the insurance people are involved. All you need to know is the combined force of your local hardware shop. You know, the shop that has everything, cuts your keys, has like weed killer, mouse traps a certain time of the year, move up to the counter. They know everything. They do everything. You go in for the obscure battery. Your local hardware shop combined with YouTube, you can do almost anything. Just, you know, don't do amateur electrics and go on step ladders on your own and go up ladders with head strimmers and things that cut things. But you're adults, you're grown-ups, you know these things already. We kind of say these things because broadcast rules. You're encouraging people to do it. No, we don't really mean to do that at all. Now, thankfully, there's more intuition when it comes to minding the lanav, the poshti, the small children of Ireland. What is the fastest way to flag up a critical illness in a child? Parents' intuition. A study in Australia has discovered that youngsters are 4 times more likely to be sent to ICU if their caregivers, parents or guardians, basically raise concerns. In other words, they're the first people to intuit that there's something very seriously wrong with the child. They studied 190,000 child emergency visits to hospitals in Australia, where there's a very good health service. And parents or caregivers are routinely asked, are you worried your child is getting worse? Basically, in 1 in 5 cases, nearly 20%, parents raise concerns about the deterioration before the tests of vital signs related to heart rate, breathing or blood pressure indicated that the child is becoming worse. So their intuition was ahead of the tests. And they found that the children of those who voiced concerns were more unwell, more likely to be admitted to an inpatient ward and stayed in hospital almost 3 times as long. So it's the kind of mammies and the daddies as well have the superpower that we just need to unlock. And I like in this study, the researchers are saying, look, parents are not visitors to a hospital. They are part of the care team. We want every hospital to recognise that and give parents permission and the power to speak up. And that can frustrate parents sometimes if they go in pairs into a hospital. It's like, no, we can only have one parent here. But they're just trying to communicate what they know. And the research is there to show that what they know turned out to be entirely true, basically. There's a row in the Dáil. What's this about? This is the Irish Daily Mail this morning telling us that Danny Hillary's angered coalition leaders after calling for a Dáil vote against the government's position in what's been called an undemocratic and unprecedented move. Basically, all legislation, so the opposition tables a new law, in this case is Sinn Féin, People Before Profit Solidarity, a bill to ban fox hunting, which astounds people, particularly English people, that we still have fox hunting in Ireland. And basically, there's an agreement, you let it go to second stage where you do the debate. But he called a vote for the first stage, which would effectively make it kind of impossible for it denies the right of a legislator to table a bill at the first stage. And a government spokesperson says, we are clear the vote should not have been called at this stage. It's not good practice for TDs to be denied their right to table bills. Does Danny Healy-Ray have a very strong view on fox hunting? It turns out he does. I couldn't vote at any stage for fox hunting to be banned. If they got away with that, maybe the next time they'd stop a farmer from shooting a fox. And I know what the fox has done, even to my own son this year. Wherever the yo had 2 lambs, the fox took one of them. The yo can only take care of one. So that's one of the things. It's kind of hard. I think he's just saying, he literally says, the foxes have taken over. And maybe there isn't room with the fairies and the foxes to live side by side. So he's against the fox hunting ban. The bill anyway passed to the second stage, despite Mr. Healy-Ray's opposition. But the precedent is there. And as we know, precedents become the everything, don't they? Already on the DIY, as a builder, I've had to recover some do-it-yourself projects. More like destroy-it-yourself DIY, says Carl. Thanks for that. Years ago, another texter. My father-in-law was under pressure to put up a mirror over the sitting room mantelpiece. Under pressure, he eventually did it under duress, but with some kind of Velcro material. You're joking. Needless to say, it dropped overnight, woke up the entire house. 7 more years of DIY. Bad luck, that's for sure. That's terrible, terrible news. Sharon Horgan is in the news at the moment. 2025, IFTA Best Drama winner and Bad Sisters creator. Great show. She is going to star in The Twisted Tale of Amanda Knox, which is an 8-episode limited series from the creator and executive producer of This Is Us, basically. So this is very interesting. She's going to play Amanda Knox's mother, Edda Mellis. And Grace Van Patten from Tell Me Lies will be taking on the central role of Amanda Knox. You'll know that she was a US exchange student in Italy, was wrongfully imprisoned for the murder of her roommate, Meredith Kercher. And what an extraordinary tabloid feast that was in its day. So now she's the executive producer, by the way, Amanda Knox, in this show. So Sharon Horgan is going off into that. There'll be no laughs in that for sure. And that's coming out until, when's it coming out? It's coming out in August, in fact, in the series. And we'll get to see it here on Disney Plus in Ireland, essentially. 51551 for your text. By the way, I will be off for 2 weeks. Don't be missing me too much. But the same fantastic team, of course, will be working away. And you'll hear Dermot Whelan and Shea Byrne keeping company in the opening days of June. I'm nearly sorry I've already read Elaine Feeney's Let Me Go Mad in My Own Way, which I believe is the best book of 2025, I would say that. And a Booker Prize, you know, fingers crossed and all that sort of stuff. But everyone's going to be reading for the June bank holiday. So we'll send any recommendations you have everybody's way on the WhatsApp as well, 0870 32 32 32. I'm toying with bringing The Count of Monte Cristo. It's been sitting there 1,000 pages long, and just to do something entirely different. But anyway, let's give you a tune to start the mood for the weekend. Get up, get out, do a bit of jiving in your kitchen, and happy Friday.